There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome to the Karma You podcast. This is your host, Chloe Brotheridge. I'm a coach, a hypnotherapist, and the author of The Anxiety Solution and the new book, Brave New Girl, 7 Steps to Confidence. So this week I'm talking to the amazing Grace Victory, who is an award-winning content creator. She's also a trainee counsellor. She is a TEDx speaker, and she's been awarded the Most Inspiring Role Model Award for InStyle Magazine's Project 13. She's presented multiple TV shows, including Clean Eating's Dirty Secrets, one of the most watched documentaries on BBC Three. And in this inspiring conversation, we talk about high-functioning anxiety, something that Grace experiences. She shares the story of coming from her own childhood abuse to finding her own path to healing and going on to train as a counsellor. And she discusses why healing should be holistic, and also why we might have to actually feel our feelings in order to heal them. And we also talk about why we've lost our power and how we can start to regain it. I also want to invite you to come over to karmayou.com/confidence, because on the 1st of July, I'm going to be leading a 5-day confidence challenge. I'm going to lead you through simple yet powerful exercises to grow your confidence, calm your inner critic, create a new positive self-image, and connect with other like-minded people so that we can all support each other and cheer each other on as we go on this journey together. So if you want to get involved in this free challenge, enter your email address at karmayou.com/confidence. So let's get into the episode with Grace.
Yeah, so I started making YouTube videos in 2011. So I'm like an OG YouTuber, long time ago. And I originally started because I was watching YouTube videos and couldn't really find anyone that looked like me and spoke like me and was relatable in that sense. There was mixed race YouTubers, but they were American. And I think that is quite a distinct difference, I think, between like British culture and American culture. And then I didn't find anyone that was plus size, or anyone that was a bit common, basically. So I thought instead of waiting for someone to appear, I was just gonna start making my own videos because maybe other people could relate to me. So that's what I started doing, and my old videos are just, oh my God, awful.
Have you kept them all up?
No. There's a few up, and they are... wow. But back then, you could just film on a really shitty webcam, upload it, and it would get loads of views. It was so simple. So I started doing like makeup videos, fashion videos, beauty. And then it got to this point where I was getting so many questions and comments like, oh, you're so confident, you're so inspiring. Like, how have you got to this place? And I was like, I've always been confident, but I wasn't as confident as I was coming across on camera. I grew up at a performing arts school, so being on camera was second nature to me. But I had these deep, dark demons that I was suppressing, and I felt really awkward, people saying, oh, you're such a role model. And I was like, you have no idea like what actually goes through my brain and the unwell mechanisms that I'm using to cope. So I did this video called The Pressure to Be Perfect and outed myself, basically, and was like, I feel the pressure, I'm not okay, here's what's going on. At the time, I think it was a massive thing to do because no one was talking about mental health or body image issues or self-harm or issues with food. I look back and it's very surface level, but back then it was like a big, big thing, and old me found that quite difficult to do. And that's when I started seeing a rise in followers and engagement, when people were like, okay, like, this is so raw and vulnerable, we're into this. And that's when I realised that the more you talk about your problems, the more other people talk about theirs. And it just sort of went on that snowball effect, with like, the more followers I got, the more followers I got, if that makes sense. And it grew and grew and grew and grew and grew. I started my blog, started Instagram, and I was doing all of that alongside working in a children's care home. So I was working 11 to 24 hour shifts with emotional and behavioural problems, or children that had them. And whilst they were asleep and I was on a night shift, I would do my YouTube stuff. So I never slept, which I do not recommend.
Oh my God.
And it just, I just going on and on and on. And I guess I took all the stuff I learned with like my own childhood and the kids in care, and sort of bridged the gap, I guess, online with talking about beauty and fashion, but also the real life stuff that's actually going on. I think working with children in care gave me an insight into what people were actually going through, because fair enough, they are in care, but they're also normal kids and they go through all these different things, and they want to talk about sex and boobs and periods, and that's where the sort of change in my content came. I went full-time in 2015. I was making no money there, so I'm not sure why I did that. But I just thought, it's January 2015. I want to just try and pursue this. If it goes wrong, it goes wrong. And I think that I was sort of raised with, like, having to take risks and chances, because you don't really know, like, what's going to happen. Just kind of do it.
Mm.
So I quit my job, which was, like, really hard because I love working with the kids. But I just knew that my purpose was bigger than like working with, I think I was working with like 4 to 10 kids at a time. But I just knew that that wasn't enough for me. Like, I wanted to work with loads of people. Numbers don't matter, but I just knew that there was something out there for me. So yeah, I quit my job. I took out a loan to get to pay the first month's rent on my flat. Moved to South London. And I was like, okay, so I've got $0 in my account. Let's see what I can get in this month. And then lucky for me, I just got loads of work and it went up and up and up and up. And then I won a few awards, got a management company to look after me, and did some TV work, got a book deal. And it just sort of grew and grew and grew. And then obviously now I'm in a place where my content is like definitely changing again, because I think I've changed so much. YouTube was a outlet for me, like a creative outlet, I think it was to escape, whereas now what I do is to actually heal and process. So yeah.
Yeah. So how has your content changed? How would you describe your content now?
I don't know. I think that growth with your career is always going to happen when you're growing personally, and I think your 20s, every year you're just a different person. And I think that when you're in therapy and you're in recovery, that just accelerates everything. So I would say my content is intentional, so everything I do is with an intention, and purposeful, whereas before it was sort of like, what can I do to get some more money, or what can I do that people want to see? It's more about like what I believe I'm meant to be doing now. And I don't really do a lot of beauty content anymore. I do a lot of outfits, but I don't really work with a lot of fashion brands. A lot of my work is with like Always on period poverty. I do a lot of work with the BBC. Going to schools, I go and talk at youth clubs. I just work with like a generic brands, which I'm really proud of. Like, I was a Feel Unique ambassador. I was the face of a MAC campaign at the beginning of the year. So I'm very lucky that I get to work with so many different brands. And my content, I guess, has a focus on like being conscious of what's happening to your body and your brain. And everything is, I try to be relatable, but also educational. And yeah, trauma based, I guess, as well.
Mm. It's amazing what you've created. And I followed you on Twitter for years. And I love what you're posting about at the moment, about a lot about healing. And
yeah,
I noticed you wrote something about high functioning anxiety recently. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. So high function anxiety isn't actually like a proper diagnosis, which I need to just put a disclaimer out there. However, it has been recognised by psychotherapists and doctors that there's some people that have anxiety but can function incredibly well on it. And with the research that I've done into it on myself, and like I Google everything, people always ask, how do you know so much? And I'm like, Google is your best friend. I Google a lot and I read a lot. Mm. And there's, when you've experienced childhood trauma or a situation that you perceive to be traumatic, I think you go two ways. So you either shut down and withdraw, or you work incredibly hard not to really feel what's going on. For me, as a child, I had a talent, and that was performing, that was singing and dancing. So no matter what stuff was going on at home, and no matter how badly I viewed myself, I always knew I was talented. And the focus on me as a child was either on my weight or what I could achieve. So you can see now, growing up, that I'm quite successful, but I've obviously had body image issues. So my career, for me, was always something that I knew I had. So as a kid, I focus a lot on like getting out of my family home, getting out of my hometown, getting out of whatever difficulties I was facing. And the foundation of me was my trauma, and it was the fight or flight response mode. And it was throwing everything I had into my work and being very highly organized and structured. And high functioning anxiety is all of that, but then underneath, it's that fear of being seen, it's that fear of failure, it's not really relaxing, trying to relax, but then your mind is in overdrive. And I was like, I definitely have anxiety, but it manifests in different ways. And I don't realize that I'm functioning at that state unless I go into that hole and actually feel it. But I think it's like a common thing. People just don't connect to what it is. Like, I don't really, I don't worry about going to events. I don't wake up and I'm like shaking with anxiety. It's more like, right, get up out of bed, Grace. You've got this to do. Right, it's time to go on with it. And that constant state of like running and believing like if you stop, the world's gonna end. That's the kind of anxiety that I've experienced. And it comes in waves.
Yeah.
So there's some days where I'm absolutely fine. I'm really chill. And there's other days where I just cry. And I've noticed that it's when I have a lot of work on. And I think it's really hard to find a balance, because you'll say yes to a normal amount of work, but then suddenly you agree to them and then they all come in at once, all the deadlines on the same day, and you're like freaking out. And that's what happens to me a lot. Mm. And I've noticed that that's when I usually go up into my anxiety, or when I'm during my period.
Yes, well, that's a whole other topic that people
absolutely
are only just starting to talk about in the last few years, that actually your cycle
affects everything,
can really affect your mental health.
Yeah.
But I think it's such an interesting topic, this thing of high functioning anxiety, because, you know, anxiety is not just the shy person, mm-hmm. who's kind of too afraid to leave the house.
Yeah.
It's also the really successful person that's doing loads of things, mm. you know, might appear really confident on the outside, but underneath it, maybe that success is driven by fear, or driven by not feeling good enough, or there's trauma. I mean,
yeah.
I actually think we're all traumatized, mm-hmm. to some extent. you know, whether it's big traumas or littler traumas.
Yeah.
And I think there's almost like an epidemic of this high functioning anxiety. It's
just like really, I think it's under researched and under recognised. And I don't want to be like that controversial person that's like the Western world, but I do think the way we in the West view medicine and the way that, that certain doctors manage mental health, I just think is really backwards. I try and, again, not be controversial, but I do believe in like holistic healing. And when you're working on healing, to like want to heal all of you, not just specific parts.
What's your experience of holistic healing then? Okay. What sort of things have you done? I'm so fascinated.
So when I first realised that I had some issues, I was about 16, 17, and I was offered counselling on the NHS, and it was just a bit horrific, if I'm honest. And
the counselling itself, or just that time in your life?
I was told basically that all my issues were daddy issues, and that I probably, and like I should work on myself and like lose weight to fix my issues. So being told that at 17 is not appropriate. And that's when I started going to Weight Watchers and then Slimming World, and when my eating disorder just went like through the roof. So that was my first experience. Now my second experience was CBT, and the counsellor was re-traumatising me in every session. So I was just fucked. And that was actually, that caused a breakdown in my relationship with my past boyfriend, my ex, because I was just an absolute mess. And I was like, this kind of counselling is not working for me. It was so, in my terms, aggressive. And at the time, I didn't know that you needed to research counsellors and find out how they work. I didn't know any of this. So I quit that and was just sort of trying to stabilise myself. And then I met a woman called Emmy while shooting a documentary. And she was a psychotherapist for the show, which is about food and eating disorders. And after the show, she was like, come and see me because you may have issues with food, not really know my history. And then I saw her, and she diagnosed me with an eating disorder and PTSD. And I started seeing her every week for a year and a half. And Emmy's, she has the Recover Clinic, which is based in Central London, and it's all about spiritual and holistic wellness and recovery. So it's all about treating the all of you and not just one part of you, and going to the core of your pain and then sort of crawling back out. And it's all, I think it's a bit of like life coaching with psychotherapy, psychodynamic therapy, and all these different aspects. And I think that when you're healing, one thing isn't going to fix you, one thing isn't going to heal you. It's like 10 different things. So I had Emmy with the whole life coaching and the psychotherapy. And then I learned about self-care. So I had like sister circles that I was going to. And then I got into crystals and essential oils and things like that. So when people ask about like how I healed, I'm like, it was literally, I just turned my whole life around. It was with music. So I was going to like sound baths, and like I did everything. It was in nature, reading, it had changed my whole life. It wasn't just one core thing. And that's what holistic healing is to me. And it's plant-based medicine as well. So I started looking into like, what can I make in a tea that's going to help my womb today? So I was researching different herbs and things like that.
What can help the womb? I need to know.
So raspberry root leaf.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Is really good. Mugwort is really good. And in terms of like baths, calendula oil is really good for your nervous system, lavender oil, bergamot is good for depression. I basically went on this massive journey, I'm still on it, journey to like find what was going to work for me, because what I was recommended at my doctor's, And I guess the Western way just did not work for me. And my soul was like yearning for more. And then, yeah, I kind of found what does work. And everyone's different. Some people really, really like recommend taking medication. Some people love CBT. Some people like talking therapies and stuff. But I just think it's about what works for you. And I was just able to, yeah, find what worked for me.
I think that's a really good point, that it is different for everyone. And I think from the people that I speak to, they maybe try one thing, doesn't work, and then they kind of give up and think, oh, no one can help me.
Yeah.
But my journey was maybe similar to yours, in that I just did loads of things.
Yeah.
I had a lot of different types of therapy, went on retreats, smothered myself in oils and all that sorts of things. And I think sometimes we do have to make it, like, I talk about making it your priority, make like taking care of yourself a priority.
I think I dedicated my life to getting well. And I think because my therapist, Emmy, said to me, she was like, you're like a sponge. Everything I say to you, you absorb it slowly but surely, and then it just sticks to you. And I think, yeah, I think it's a privilege though to get well. And I was really lucky to be able to dedicate my life to getting better. But it's a journey, because now I'm back in therapy for other things. My therapist is a man, which is just wild. And you know, you just keep going. And I think that a lot of people get overwhelmed with a healing and the work that they need to do, but I think that that's the whole reason that we're here on earth, is to like heal but also have a lot of fun. And that's the whole point, isn't it? The whole point is that being able to master who you are and being present and stuff like that. Meditation's also incredible. Like, I notice a massive difference. Like, I don't know what it... Have you watched the documentary Heal?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think that's like a really good introductory to people that don't get it. I think I only watched it like 3 days ago. So like for me, I again just Google everything, and I just think there's always a reason for whatever issues you're going through, or any like dis-ease you feel in your body. I've been getting really bad headaches the last few weeks, and I was like, I'm gonna Google meditation for headache and see what comes up. And there's a whole thing, there's a whole frequency to help with headaches. So like just things like that, like I'm just very in tune and open to whatever the universe has to offer me. And it's, yeah, it's a journey, things take time.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I think sometimes you think, oh, I've made a big breakthrough in my mental health, and then there's like another level or something else is coming up to be healed and
we're
to be
like
worked
onions.
On.
So yes. Like one layer. So when I first saw Emmy and was healing my eating disorder, that was the outer layer of the onion. And then we went in a little bit, and now with Alesh, like we're going to the centre of the onion. And it's so painful, but... I think when you have a good therapist, they manage your crap and your shit in their session, and then you're able to leave and enjoy life and then come back to it. Like, that's the safe way to do it. I think sometimes we try and be vulnerable, and then we're vulnerable 100% of the time, and then we're drained, and then we're tired, and we're very triggered all the time. Whereas everything is about dipping your toes in and going a bit deeper, then coming back out. And that's just the way that us as humans have to operate. Otherwise, you know, it leads to breakdowns. And they're no fun.
definitely not. And do you think it's about, so when you say you're kind of dipping into the pain, is it about like feeling the pain, or what sort of processes have you been through?
Definitely feeling it. What I've learned is that what you think is going to be painful is never as painful as what you think it's going to be. When you actually do it, you're like, oh, it wasn't that bad. But then sometimes it's even worse, and you're like, well, that was absolutely shit. And I think that it's just being brave, actually, and knowing that nothing can actually break you. And it's about having that self-belief, and recognizing that everything in life is always a perception. Even our memories are a perception. And that trauma creates really false perceptions and false realities. And feeling safe enough to do that. Like, you have to, like, I think I've only started really going to the core of my pain with my therapist, and I've been seeing him for a year. I haven't felt that safe for a year, but I show up every session because it's part of my self-care. And I think it's about feeling the things you don't want to feel. But it's scary. It's very scary. And when you've built up these walls and you've locked that pain in that box for so long, you throw away the key. Finding the key is enough. That is hard enough.
Yeah.
And then you have to put it in, and then you've got to turn it, and then you've got to open the lid. And it just takes time. But one day you'll wake up and you'll be like, oh my God, I've actually done it. Like, in my last therapy session, I actually opened the key. And it's not, it's about not putting a time limit on your healing as well, which is an issue that I think I have with a lot of the stuff that they recommend on the NHS, because it's like 6 weeks. It's like, that isn't, 6 weeks is not even enough to feel safe with someone. It's not. And I think sometimes when that's the only option people have, and it's diabolical. I think that 6 weeks are good for interventions and to just be able to manage the shit that's going on. But if you really want to process, it's years. It's actually years. And it's also sometimes takes years to find someone that you want to work with. But I think that's the beauty of it. I think you also have to be very ready and willing. You have to have a certain amount of self-worth as well, I think, to want to get well. Because searching for therapists is hard.
Yeah.
And you have to have some sort of motivation to even do that. But yeah, I don't really have the answers, to be honest. I just think it's about an individual process. People work really differently, but I do think that holistically is the option that I recommend people, because it tends to be the one that heals mind, body and soul, not just one of them.
Definitely a lot of different approaches.
Yeah.
I work as a hypnotherapist, and a lot of what I do is sort of taking people back to things in childhood, mm-hmm. and getting to the root of where things come from. And people are often scared about that process, but once you do it and kind of release something around something that's happened, or change your perspective, it can change so many things in your life. And it is like, you know, turning a key and just kind of looking inside and getting rid of some of the rubbish.
Yeah.
But I think what you say is that it does take courage to go there. And I know a lot of people are scared about what they're going to find, and they just don't want to even think about it or talk about it. And there can be a lot of resistance to getting help for that, a lot of defensiveness around even looking at that. So
it's recovered memories, isn't it? It's the fear of what am I going to remember, and which I didn't even think about until this year, actually, when I started remembering things, and I was like, what the fuck is that? And go to therapy, like, I'm having dreams, I'm remembering all these things that have happened to me, all things that I've witnessed, and I'm not okay with this. Because it makes you like full of fear, anxiety, you go back to being a child. And I think that's why it's really important to have a therapist that can manage you, so that you can come back to yourself and ground. I think grounding techniques are really important, even if you're not in therapy. Being able to ground yourself and rebalance in the morning and at night really is really going to help. Because anxiety and being full of fear is like, I think shame as well are one of the worst feelings in the world.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. How would you describe shame?
Well, from a trained point of view, shame is obviously the emotion that allows people to recognise the repercussions and responsibilities that are going to happen when you make decisions. However, shame internalised with fear is like you're going to die. I can't explain it. It's like you're drowning. You don't want to be seen. You're embarrassed. You can't step into your full power. You're in fight or flight mode. And it could, I feel like shame can destroy you. And it's really interesting because shame is the root of my trauma. That's literally it. It's not depression. It's not food. It's nothing. It's literally shame. It's just one word. And it's amazing. I sometimes go in therapy and I'm like, I don't want to be here today. I'm pissed off. And he's like, why? And I say, because all these things that have happened to me and all this shame is like, it could happen once and it takes you 10 years to heal. And I said, I'm pissed off about that. And yeah, it's really hard. I think with trauma, it can happen 25 times, it can happen one time. And sometimes there's no difference in how much of the cause and effect that you're living with. Mm. It doesn't really matter. It's the same thing with sexual assault, I think. So my training at the moment is on sexual abuse and working with child sexual abuse survivors. And it can happen once, or it can happen sustained over a period of time. But some of the research that comes out of looking at that and the damage it can cause or whatever, is there's no difference. You can have one sexual assault, or you can have 50 of them, and it affects your brain the exact same way. Yeah.
And I read something recently that it's something like 13% of women have experienced a sexual assault as children.
Well, see, that's wild. Mm. And I know, I think every woman I know has had sexual trauma. Every single one. And yeah, it's shit. It's really, the statistics are wild. But also they're quite inconclusive because not many people report.
Yeah.
And not many people remember either. That's a thing that you can go to therapy for issues and you can have like all the textbook symptoms of sexual trauma, but absolutely have no idea that it happened to you. So, yeah.
Yeah, so people have experienced that, or if they're worried about that, definitely speak to someone. And yeah, trying to take that holistic approach, it sounds like, is
and things take time. Like I think people see where I've come from and where I am now and they forget the amount of time that's taken me. And I think that try not to worry about how you're going to heal and what you need to do, but just take one step. So just telling one person is a start of healing. So even just calling like victim support if it's sexual trauma, or the Samaritans, or Mind, or going to see your GP, or inquiring with a therapist, like just baby steps. Mm-hmm. And then one day you'll realize that, oh, I actually heal every day with like 10 different things, and you just build up and build up and you incorporate different things and you just try things and see what works. Like for some people it's like tarot and crystal healing, for other people it's hypnotherapy, it's exercise, you know, everyone is different. And self-care is self-defined. It's, you know, it's, I can sit here and say holistic is the best, but for some people it's not. You know, it's all about what works for your soul, and that's okay, whatever it is.
Yeah, amazing. You're training to be a counsellor.
I am.
So what made you make that decision, and how is that going?
I think originally, working at a children's care home, I knew my strength. So I had the most disclosures from the children, and I was the youngest staff member. So I was like, okay, so the children seem to want to talk to me more than anyone else. Why is that? And I think it was because of being relatable. Like, they saw me as like an older big sister, had tattoos, spoke like them, like dressed a bit like them, you know, quite street or whatever. And also that I think I'm very approachable, and I have a way of talking to people that's educational, but also they understand, like the words that I use, they understand. So I knew back then when I was 22, 23, that I had, I was good at helping people, and we had therapy at the children's home, and I was like, I really like therapists and what they do, I'm really interested in that, but just never saw it as an option for me. I was like, in my 20s, I thought, education's over, I didn't really enjoy school anyway, didn't go to university, so just sort of thought, well, it is what it is, I like doing it, but whatever, I'm doing YouTube and I'm doing this advice stuff on there, that's kind of enough. And then I guess I started my own therapy journey, having a therapy and healing and working on myself, and realised that I was a sponge and I'd taken all of this in, and I was holding in all of this information, trying to get it out to the masses. But I think when it's to the masses, sometimes it can get watered down. And it doesn't have the impact it has when you're with someone one-to-one, and it's a safe space for just you and them to kind of talk and communicate. So I was getting questions a lot on Instagram and YouTube and tweets, like, how can I do this? How can I do this? You've done this. What does this mean? I need to see a counsellor, but I'm not sure how. And it's every day I get these messages, and I was like, I think I need to get some sort of training. And it also felt like a natural progression for me. And, you know, comments about periods and, like, should my vagina smell this way? Or this happened to me as a kid. And I was just like, although I don't feel out of my depth at all with these kind of questions, I do feel like I need to back myself up and have some sort of protection. And also, I love learning. I love learning, and I love writing essays. I'm just weird. I love writing. It's like writing a blog post, though. And I love being able to understand and process what happens to humans, and I find it really interesting. So I was like, fuck it, I'm going to train to be a counsellor. Had no idea how to do that, where to go, so obviously Google. So I found a open college course on counselling child sexual abuse survivors and thought, that sounds up my street, because I've been healing sexual trauma, and again, I find it very interesting, and I think that there needs to be more women of colour therapists and black therapists. So I was like, I'm going to do it. Paid for it, did it in literally 6 months, less than that, probably about 3 months. I loved it, found it very, very easy. I knew a lot of the stuff that I was doing, so I thought, okay, I'm actually good at this. Mm-hmm. That's been sent off now, I'm waiting for my results to come back. And then I'm going to do level 3 counselling course, and then I could take clients after that. I kind of want to, in, I don't know, 20 years, probably before then, I want to have my own recovery program. So it will be trauma-based, person-centered. It will also be humanistic, which is a very spiritual aspect of treatment. And I kind of want to make my own recovery program for people. Also be able to offer free sessions, discounted sessions, and working with women and children on healing. And I want to get a degree eventually. That's basically it.
Sounds amazing.
It's been, honestly, it's been very easy and just great.
It's brilliant.
I feel like it's just what I'm meant to do. Mm. And I think it's nice because I'm an example that you can sort of like do things in different order. Like I knew from 12 that I was not going to go to uni because I couldn't be asked. But now I'm like, I want to go to university. And that's just, you know, that's just the way it is sometimes.
Yeah.
And I'm very lucky that I can do all of my YouTube and blogging and all that kind of stuff. And that's going to pay for my education. So I'm honestly so happy. I think I also want to do like a few life coaching courses and different things. I've done an aromatherapy course, and I want to do essential oils and some other random stuff. Astrology maybe.
Mm.
I just think
there's
something in the market that can bridge the gap between spirit and science.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people are spiritually hungry, if I'm honest, and that is where a lot of the issues are. And I think there needs to be a therapeutic program that is going to feed mind, body and soul.
Sounds amazing.
Thank you.
Sounds amazing. I'm very excited for this. You've mentioned about wanting to help women and girls to step into their power.
Yeah.
Why do you think we're not in our power, firstly?
We've never been taught how to be.
Mm.
Self-love and self-care and how to be human is never taught at home or in schools. And we expect children at 16 to leave school and be like, cool, now you're done. Now you have to love yourself. And it's like they have no foundation to do that. And it is because of trauma. It is because of lack of education, lack of funding. And also our generation, the generation above us, was not empowered that much. Didn't have the access to heal. So now, obviously, my generation and your generation, we are healing for like our mums and our grandmums and our ancestors. And that is what stepping into your power is all about. I'm recognising that you can be multifaceted. I think that we put labels on us a lot of the time, and you know, oh, this is who I am, this is what I want to do. And actually, you can be that person, but you can also be that person over there as well. And that's what it's about for me. And going on a journey and having the toolbox to do that. And the toolbox for your mental health, and to grow and become the person that you're meant to be before society told you who you were.
I think you mentioned this term generational trauma, which is, as you say, sort of healing things from your mom, your grandma. Things come down the generations, don't they? And if you're going through this process of trying to heal yourself, it almost can feel as if, like, I often feel like I'm healing my mom's stuff, my granny, my great granny. I feel that a lot, and it's can feel like quite a lot, actually. If it's a lot to carry.
A lot of people don't talk about the physical effects of healing. And I never knew they were any until I was feeling them. So when I first stopped, about a year into treatment in 2016, my body was just fucked. And I was purging, so I was like aches. It was like I was going through growing pains. Aches and pains, tiredness, breaking out for no apparent reason. My toenail fell off, like just random stuff. And I was never physically unwell, ever. Although I had a lot of thrush and vagina issues because of obviously trauma, and I was like, there's definitely the effects of healing. Your body has to align to your new brain, and your new soul, and your root chakra is at the base of your spine, and that is, I guess, like your grounding to life, but it's also where your trauma is held. So for Black people, that's like generations of like slavery and things like that. So where often when you're healing, you will have a lot of lower back pain. And your trauma's held in your lower back. So I tell people, like, try and get massages on your lower back because you're going to feel that. And the physical effects are just incredible.
Because we hold so much of our emotions in our body. Like, anyone with IBS will know that, you know, the stress can feel like a really physical thing, and
thrush, cystitis, everything.
So many things can be linked to
is related to
feelings.
Something else.
Someone described it to me recently as being like your your emotions are like energy in your body. And if we don't feel it, it just stays stuck, and that could make, you know, cause those aches and pains.
Headaches.
And,
there's no way to release it. So if you don't get things out of your body, they stay there. So sometimes getting things out is visualization, meditation. Other ways it's like exercise, swimming, dancing. Like, some days I have an urge just to shake. Like, put on Beyonce and just shake and just get it out. Breath work as well. We don't breathe. So women and men, but women are obviously told to suck in your stomach all the time. When you suck in, you can't breathe properly.
So true.
Because when you breathe properly, your belly expands a lot and you look pregnant. So we're conditioned not to breathe properly, and it isn't until you meditate that you realize that you never actually get breath in or out.
Wow. That's so interesting, isn't it? I did a visualization recently that was, I was trying to get rid of PMS, and I imagined like all this like black stuff in my womb, like going back into the earth. And that month my PMS was loads better, and I started doing this practice of like visualizing that happening and just imagining the earth is just taking it.
Your womb is your second heart, and also your womb is your manifestation center.
Okay,
so if you have issues with PMS and anger on your period, is probably coming from somewhere else. And your womb like demands to be heard. It's our wisdom. So when you bleed, you're allowing your wisdom to go into the world. Hence why when you have menopause spiritually, that they're the most incredible women, because they're holding in all their wisdom now.
Wow. I am loving this. I'm so fascinated. I read Wild Power. Have you read that?
No.
I'm reading Period by Maisie Hill, which is all about living in accordance with your cycle. The spring, the summer, the autumn, and the winter. Have you heard of that way of describing it?
I think you should probably read Red Moon.
Okay, I'll add that.
So Red Moon
to my
is
list.
Like the, I would say like the number one book about your cycle.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll get it. I'll get that right away.
It's the best book ever.
Yeah.
Change your life.
Yeah. Because it's like, again, one of those things that we just don't, we've never been taught about.
Never been taught. I think a lot of people, they want evidence for everything and they want it to be written down in a book somewhere, or they have to always see things, whereas I think you feel it. So what you feel is right, and your intuition, because some of the most beautiful things in the world cannot be seen with the naked with your two eyes, and that's the problem. We like schools are, and I think it's just like our parents as well. There's a lot of conspiracies, and they don't really believe in certain things because it's not there. It's not concrete. It's not proven. Mm. Whereas I just don't. I just think that there's so much magic in the world if you let things be magical and view them as magic. Women are cyclic beings. Like, that's absolute fact. We have cycles. So, of course, we're going to be powerful and, like, this divine feminine energy and be connected to the moon. Like, why not? It doesn't make sense not to. Whereas some people are the opposite and think, that doesn't make any sense. And I'm like, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah,
but it's, you're teaching women and children that we're magical.
Yeah, I love that. And often with kind of health things or psychological things, the kind of the mainstream isn't offering solutions, so you do often go looking for other solutions and go down a more spiritual path or a holistic path or something. Yeah. And actually you can find solutions there quite often, where maybe having CBT and taking antidepressants isn't going to be the solution for you.
Yeah. I think it's about people want quick fixes. If you look at healing, or you look at weight loss, or you look at fixing your skin or whatever, people want the thing that's going to make them better in a week or a month. Whereas the more holistic approach is usually months, if not years. And that's the issue. People want to be better now. So I had like really bad womb problems, and I was bleeding all for like a year straight.
Wow.
And my doctor was like, this is definitely something, we're not sure what. And I was like, it's my trauma. This started when I started mentioning my sexual trauma. It's the pain leaving my body through my womb. It's blood. That's that. He's like, I'm not sure that's a thing. I was like, it's a fucking thing, okay? And I was like, I'm not taking any medication. They were like, go on the coil. I said, the issue is, I came off the pill and I started bleeding nonstop. It's obviously these hormones, these things in my body, they don't want to be there. So I'm not going on the coil. I'm going to do meditation. I'm going to work with crystals and oils and on different baths, and I'm going to heal my own womb. And he was like, no, you're not. What happens? I heal my own womb. And it took me 2 years to do it. But I was persistent, and I just knew our bodies know what they're doing. And we've been taught not to believe them and to believe outside people and noise over our own intuition. I just knew my body will figure things out. My body can have a baby. My body can do these amazing things. My body can bleed. My body cannot bleed. It's a self-cleaning vagina. Like, my body's incredible. I trust that it will figure it out, and it did.
And I think when we are in a kind of a calmer state, we enable our natural capacity to heal.
Yeah.
And it does mean sometimes taking care of ourselves more so that we can be a bit calmer, and then that natural ability to heal comes through.
Yeah, it's stress. Like, stress, I think, is like the number one killer. It's stress is the one thing that everyone struggles with. People die from, and no one talks about it.
Yeah.
And I notice in myself, I cry more, I'm angry more. My food is awful. My self-care rubbish when I'm stressed. It just, everything in life is shit when I'm stressed. And it's about coming back home to yourself and just like balancing, and just taking, even if it's half an hour every night, to like come home. And like, but it's mad because people are like, I haven't got time. And it's like, half an hour. That's like less than 2% of your day, or 1% of your daily hours. Like, just take that time just to sit and be and breathe, and you just feel so much better. But it's giving yourself permission to do that, isn't it?
And I often say, it's not really about not having time, it's about not making it a priority. Because if you you know, we find the time for the things that are important to us.
Mm-hmm. Or if I like would say watching, this, binge watching TV.
Yeah, watching Love Island for an hour a day.
So true.
Yeah, okay, amazing. What's the best advice you've ever been given?
Oh my God. I get given a lot of good advice, I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah.
But the first thing that came to my head was, and this is very on topic for what we're talking about, I went to a yoga class in February 2018, and I had BV and thrush, okay? So everyone knows what BV is. It's that fish smell. I was not in a good place. And I knew that it was trauma. I knew that my body just was not happy. And I said to the yoga teacher, I was like, I'm really suffering with vagina problems. Do you have any advice? And she went, just breathe. And I was like, what does that even mean? Because at the time, was it 2017? I can't remember. But at the time, I was like, what the fuck? What kind of advice is that? So I went home. I was like, okay, I'm just going to breathe. So then I Googled vagina meditations. And then I started doing meditations and imagining a white, bright light in my vagina and stuff and releasing the pain. And I would say within a month, I used to get thrush every month. And then since then, I've not had thrush. I think I've had thrush once in 2.5 years.
Amazing.
And I was like, oh my God. Breathing. Just breathe.
Just breathe.
At the
just
time,
breathe,
I was like, this is fucking shit advice. But now I'm like, that's the best advice I ever got.
That's brilliant. Wow. Mm-hmm. Coming back to the visualization thing, because I practice something called Qigong,
okay,
which is basically like Tai Chi, but it's like the more ancient version. It's about 5,000 years old, whereas Tai Chi, I think, is only about 1,000 years old.
Okay.
And you basically just make some hand movements with your arms.
Yeah.
I can't obviously show people listening, but you sort of make some very gentle hand movements and you're moving energy like into your body. Mm. And it has really helped my immune system. Like I don't get sick now I do it, and loads of things just feel better. And it is like a visualization, essentially. Mm-hmm. So it is powerful.
I'm never
this stuff.
Unwell. I get headaches quite a lot. And I think that's my third eye opening.
Mm.
And I put an ice cream in my third eye and that helps. But I do think that it's down to what you believe. So like, I just believe that I'm not gonna get sick and I'm gonna live a very long life. I'm never unwell. There's a book that I recommend called Heal Your Body by Louise Hay.
Ah.
Anyone wants to find out the soul and spiritual aspects of their physical symptoms, it has everything in there.
So definitely check out that book. How is that? How to Heal Your Body,
Louise
Hay.
Heal Your Body. Yeah.
Brilliant. Thank you. I love a good book recommendation. So that and Red Moon as well.
Yeah.
Definitely have a look. What's next for you? What are you working on at the moment?
A new columnist, a mental health columnist for a magazine.
That's very exciting.
So that's going to be announced soon with a very exciting article. So that's what's next for me. An ambassador for a new brand that hasn't been announced yet. So that's also next. Training to be a counsellor is next. And also, I want to have a baby. That is like what I want to do next. Mm. Next few years, I want to start a family. I just think becoming a mum for me is like it. I've always had a career, so although I'm very happy and proud of what I've achieved, I think for me, like, having a family is like the thing. So definitely want to start a family. And to be honest, I've made no solid plans. I'm just writing down what I want to do on my vision board, thinking about things that I would like to do, travel, go to Bali, etc., etc., live in New York for like 3 months, or move to LA for a month or whatever. And then if it's meant for me, the universe will give it to me. So that's it.
Beautiful.
Yeah. What's next is whatever's next.
Yeah. Great attitude. And where can people find out more about you?
So I'm pretty much Grace F. Victory on everything. So Instagram, YouTube and Twitter. My website is graciefrancesca.com, and on there you can find outfits along with think pieces and mental health and healing content. And that's it. Oh, and the Sister Space podcast on Spotify.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for speaking to me. I've loved this conversation.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I really hope you've enjoyed it. Come and let me know over on Instagram at Chloe Brotheridge what you thought and what you're taking away from this episode.
And please do subscribe in the podcast app or on iTunes, and make sure you leave a rating, and please do leave me a review if you've enjoyed this episode. Don't forget, you can sign up to join my free 5-day confidence challenge. I'm also going to be including within that a powerful workshop and a group hypnotherapy session. So you can find all the details for that at karmayou.com/confidence. So thank you so much for listening. I'm sending you loads of love and hoping you have a brilliant week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.